You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on the Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Note on The Power of Habit, Why We Do What We Do in Life and Business by Charles Duhigg. As always, we'll kick it off with a quote. This book draws on hundreds of academic studies, interviews with more than 300 scientists and executives, and research conducted at dozens of companies. It focuses on habits as they are technically defined, the choices that all of us deliberately make at some point, and then stop thinking about but continue doing often every day. At one point, we all consciously decided how much to eat and what to focus on when we got to the office, how often to have a drink, or when to go for a jog. Then we stopped making a choice, and the behavior became automatic. It's a natural consequence of our neurology. And by understanding how it happens, you can rebuild those patterns in whichever way you choose. End quote. That is Charles Duhigg from The Power of Habit. Habits, they're powerful. And The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg is a very cool look at why we have them, how they work, and what we can do to change them. The book is an incredibly well-written, fun read, and it's packed with great stories and wisdom. I highly recommend it, and trust you'll love it. You can get it on Amazon and a link in the PDF. And for now, I'm excited to share some of my favorite big ideas and hope you dig it. Let's start by taking a quick look at why habits exist in the first place, and then we'll look at what we can do to optimize our habits. And that leads us to big idea number one, an efficient brain. Quote, habits, scientists say, emerge because the brain is constantly looking for ways to save effort. Left to its own devices, the brain will try to make almost any routine into a habit, because habits allow our minds to ramp down more often. This effort-saving instinct is a huge advantage. An efficient brain requires less room, which makes for a smaller head, which makes childbirth easier and therefore causes fewer infant and mother deaths. An efficient brain also allows us to stop thinking constantly about basic behaviors, such as walking and choosing what to eat, so we can devote mental energy to inventing spears, irrigation systems, and eventually airplanes and video games. End quote. All right, so habits emerge because our brains are constantly looking for ways to save effort. Got it. But what are the primary components of a good habit, you might ask? And that would be a good question, and that would lead to our next big idea. Cue plus routine plus reward. Quote, this process within our brains is a three-step loop. First, there's a cue, a trigger that tells your brain to go into automatic mode and which habit to use. Then there's the routine, which can be physical or mental or emotional. Finally, there is a reward, which helps your brain figure out if this particular loop is worth remembering for the future. End quote. Duhigg comes back to this three-step loop throughout the book. Remember, cue plus routine plus reward equals habit. If you want to create a new habit, you need to identify your cues and rewards and create new routines. We'll touch on this loop throughout the note. First step, get a cue. It's the next big idea. Get a cue. Quote, if you want to start running each morning, it's essential that you choose a simple cue, like always lacing up your sneakers before breakfast, or leaving your running shoes next to your bed, and a clear reward, such as a midday treat, a sense of accomplishment from recording your miles, or the endorphin rush you get from a jog. But countless studies have shown that a cue and a reward on their own aren't enough for a new habit to last. Only when your brain starts expecting the reward, craving the endorphins or sense of accomplishment, will it become automatic to lace up your jogging shoes each morning. The cue, in addition to triggering a routine, must also trigger a craving for the reward to come. End quote. So back to the three components of habits, cue plus routine plus reward. Now let's add a craving for the reward that's tied to the cue. Want to exercise every morning? Give yourself a cue by leaving your workout clothes next to your bed. That's what I do. And give yourself a clear reward. Mine? The post-workout buzz mixed with knowing I'm doing what's best for me. We want to get to a point where that cue gets you craving the reward. Get there, and voila. You're rocking it. All right, next big idea is keystone habits. Quote, it wasn't the trip to Cairo that had caused the shift, scientists were convinced, or the divorce or desert trek. It was that Lisa had focused on changing just one habit, smoking, at first. Everyone in the study had gone through a similar process. By focusing on one pattern, what is known as a keystone habit, Lisa had taught herself how to reprogram the other routines in her life as well. End quote. Keystone habits. This is my favorite big idea in the book. The basic idea, there's a habit that, when we change it, will have the greatest positive impact on our lives. It's a keystone habit. Keystones are good. As our friendly Apple dictionary tells us, a keystone is, quote, a central stone at the summit of an arch, locking the whole together. I've got a little picture in here, too, a pretty fancy little PDF with a picture of what that keystone would look like in an arch. It's the one that keeps it all together. So what's your keystone habit? What's the number one thing you could change that would have the most positive impact on your life? Is it quitting smoking, no longer drinking, drastically reducing your internet time, getting your inbox to zero, meditating every day? Think about it and pick one. You want to pause and think about that right now. What would be the number one keystone habit that you could begin rocking in your life? You've got that figured out. We've got some space in the PDF. This is a keystone habit for me that I commit to changing. You will develop this keystone habit. Nice work. All right, a little PS here. My most recent keystone habit change? I decided to never check my email before I meditated in the morning. That habit change positively influenced a number of areas of my life. In addition to starting my day with more presence and proactivity, I started exercising more intensely and consistently, eliminated my internet usage at night, reduced my overall internet and email usage during the day, and I boosted my productivity and enhanced my presence in our relationship. Good things. PPS, my current new keystone habit I want to put in place, what's that, you might ask? It's rising with the sun. I've always loved the fact that Thomas Jefferson told of a 50-year period in which the sun never caught him in bed. 50 years. I've done this consistently before. It was really easy when living in Bali with limited electricity and no work obligations, and I'm excited to make it a practice again. So let's look at my cue plus routine plus reward. The old pattern, the cue equals naturally rising, usually before the sun rises. My routine was tell myself I needed more sleep, rolling over, petting the dog and cuddling with the lady, and going in and out of sleep for another little while. The reward was that I'd convinced myself I'd have more energy that day. Cue, routine, reward. The new pattern, the cue is the same. It's naturally rising before the sun, or in this case, I'm going to have an alarm to make sure I get up, so there might be an alarm when necessary. And routine is going to be telling myself how great I will feel hopping straight out of bed and flexing my willpower muscles as I greet another great day. And of course, to get out of bed. Remember, the old routine was telling myself I needed more sleep, rolling over, petting the dog, and cuddling, and then sleeping for a little while longer. The new routine, again, is telling myself how great I'm going to feel when I hop straight out of bed, flex my willpower muscles, greet another great day, and get out of bed. The reward is that I've convinced myself I'd have more energy that day by honoring my commitment, developing my willpower, and getting a head start on another great day. Cue, routine, reward. Pretty powerful stuff. So note, to rise with the sun successfully, I'm also going to need to observe and alter my nighttime habits. Watching a movie and eating popcorn and coconut bliss isn't going to help the process. So let's go back to you. What's your keystone habit? Did you identify one before? If not, think about that. What's your keystone habit? And now, what are your cues plus routines plus rewards that go with that keystone habit? The book goes into more detail that will be very helpful for you as you look to reshape your habits. But let's take a quick inventory. Again, let's start with your keystone habit. In the PDF, we've got some space to write some notes down. What's your keystone habit? What's your current cue? What is it that triggers that habit? If it's smoking, if your habit is smoking, what's the cue? It's stress, right? You have a routine of lighting up a cigarette and you have a reward of feeling better. If you wanted to create a new keystone habit of no longer smoking and doing something else in its place, you'd have a similar cue of stress. You'd have a different routine and you'd have a different reward. But for now, let's just go down the list, right? We've got your keystone habit you're going to build. We want to identify your current cue, your current routine, and your current reward. Take some time to think about it. And you probably want to do this when you have a little more time. You can reflect on it. Press pause if you want to. Use the PDF and make some notes. Once you've got those current cues, routines, and rewards outlined, what's your new cue? It'll be probably very similar to the old cue, of course, right? What's your new routine? This is where it really counts. What's your new routine? You're going to feel the cue, the stimulus. What's your new routine, your new response? And then what's your new reward? Your new reward will be very similar to your old reward, presumably, but follow your new routine, right? All right, big stuff there. Something worth thinking about some more. Really, really powerful stuff. And as you do that, think about the next big idea. This is huge. Believe you can change. Quote, how do habits change? There is, unfortunately, no specific set of steps guaranteed to work for every person. We know that a habit cannot be eradicated. It must instead be replaced. And we know that habits are most malleable when the golden rule of habit change is applied. If we keep the same cue and the same reward, a new routine can be inserted. But that's not enough. For a habit to stay changed, people must believe change is possible. And most often, that belief only emerges with the help of a group. End quote. Great stuff. First, notice the importance of keeping the cue and rewards the same and just changing the routine. Duhigg goes off on that throughout the book. Second, we need to believe change is possible. Duhigg quotes one of the researchers that he interviewed who says, I wouldn't have said this a year ago. That's how fast our understanding is changing, said Tonnegan, the University of New Mexico researcher. But belief seems critical. You don't have to believe in God, but you do need the capacity to believe that things will get better. End quote. Belief, it's essential. And finally, groups are super helpful. Whether it's AA helping recovering alcoholics, or a running club supporting people training for a marathon, or a couple supporting one another to meditate every day, groups rock. So, how's your belief, and what group can you engage with to rock it? All right, get on that. And while you do, remember the next big idea, exercise. Quote, when people start habitually exercising, even as infrequently as once a week, they start changing other unrelated patterns in their lives, often unknowingly. Typically, people who exercise start eating better and becoming more productive at work. They smoke less and show more patience with colleagues and family. They use their credit cards less frequently and say they feel less stressed. It's not completely clear why. But for many people, exercise is a keystone habit that triggers widespread change. Exercise spills over, said James Prochaska, a University of Rhode Island researcher. There's something about it that makes other good habits easier. End quote. Exercise. As we discuss all the time in these notes, it's huge. How's your exercise looking these days? For some mysterious reason, exercise has a ripple effect into the rest of our lives. So get on that. That brings us to the next big idea. Get your grit on. Quote, cultures grow out of the keystone habits in every organization, whether leaders are aware of them or not. For instance, when researchers studied an incoming class of cadets at West Point, they measured their grade point averages, physical aptitude, military abilities, and self-discipline. When they correlated those factors with whether students dropped out or graduated, however, they found that all of them mattered less than a factor researchers referred to as grit, which they defined as the tendency to work strenuously toward challenges, maintaining effort and interest over years, despite failure, adversity, and plateaus in progress. End quote. Grit. I just love that idea. Here's how Martin Seligman refers to it in Flourish. See those notes. He says, quote, if we want to maximize the achievement of children, we need to promote self-discipline. My favorite social psychologist, Roy Baumeister, believes it is the queen of all the virtues, the strength that enables the rest of the strengths. There is, however, an extreme trait of self-discipline, grit. Indeed, Angela went on to explore grittiness, the combination of very high persistence and high passion for an objective, end quote. So willpower is the queen of all virtues, and I guess grit is the king. If you haven't watched Angela Lee Duckworth's TEDx talk on grit yet, get on that. It's brilliant. You can click in the PDF. I've got a link straight to this TED talk on YouTube, or you can Google grit plus Duckworth plus TED to watch her talk on grit, which is essentially intense passion plus intense persistence. It's the stuff of greatness. I think you'll dig it. Go check that out if you haven't already. Next big idea. The most important keystone habit, willpower. Quote, dozens of studies show that willpower is the single most important keystone habit for individual success. In a 2005 study, for instance, researchers from the University of Pennsylvania analyzed 164 eighth grade students, measuring their IQs and other factors, including how much willpower the students demonstrated, as measured by tests of their self-discipline. Students who exerted high levels of willpower were more likely to earn higher grades in their classes and gain admission into more selective schools. They had fewer absences and spent less time watching television and more hours on homework. Highly self-disciplined adolescents outperformed their more impulsive peers on every academic performance variable, the researchers wrote. Self-discipline predicted academic performance more robustly than did IQ. Self-discipline also predicted which students would improve their grades over the course of the school year, whereas IQ did not. Self-discipline has a bigger effect on academic performance than does intellectual talent. And the best way to strengthen willpower and give students a leg up, studies indicate, is to make it into a habit, end quote. Willpower. It's the greatest predictor of and the most important keystone habit for individual success. Let's build it. Let's keep this final big idea in mind as we go out and engage in the power of habit. Every habit is malleable. Quote, hundreds of habits influence our days. They guide how we get dressed in the morning, talk to our kids, and fall asleep at night. They impact what we eat for lunch, how we do business, and whether we exercise or have a beer after work. Each of them has a different cue and offers a unique reward. Some are simple and others are complex, drawing upon emotional triggers and offering subtle neurochemical prizes. But every habit, no matter its complexity, is malleable. The most addicted alcoholics can become sober. The most dysfunctional companies can transform themselves. A high school dropout can become a successful manager. However, to modify a habit, you must decide to change it. You must consciously accept the hard work of identifying the cues and rewards that drive the habit's routines, and find alternatives. You must know you have control and be self-conscious enough to use it. And every chapter in this book is devoted to illustrating a different aspect of why that control is real. End quote. Every habit, no matter its complexity, is malleable. That's an amazing fact. We all have habits that don't serve us, and we've got to know that we can change them. We need to decide it's time to change, accept the hard work required in shaping our lives, and then get to work. As Duhigg tells us, quote, once you understand that habits can change, you have the freedom and the responsibility to remake them. Once you understand that habits can be rebuilt, the power of habit becomes easier to grasp, and the only option left is to get to work, end quote. Well, I hope you enjoyed this quick look at another great book. And here's to getting to work. Let's create some awesome habits, eh? All right, as we move into that, let's wrap this up. We will look at a mini bio for Charles Duhigg. I will suggest some other notes you might like, and I'll read a few sidebar quotes that I think you'll also enjoy. So Charles Duhigg is an investigative reporter for the New York Times. He is a winner of the National Academies of Sciences, National Journalism, and George Polk Awards, and was part of a team of finalists for the 2009 Pulitzer Prize. He is a frequent contributor to This American Life, NPR, PBS NewsHour, and Frontline. A graduate of Harvard Business School and Yale College, he lives in Brooklyn with his wife and two kids. Learn more at CharlesDuhigg.com. That's Charles, Duhigg.com. Good guy. All right, if you like this note, I think you'll also like The Willpower Instinct, Willpower, and succeed and flourish. And now for a few quotes from the sidebar. William James tells us all our life, so far as it has definite form, is but a mass of habits. Charles Duhigg tells us, where should a would-be habit master start? Understanding keystone habits holds the answer to that question. The habits that matter most are the ones that, when they start to shift, dislodge, and remake other patterns. He tells us the evidence is clear. If you want to change a habit, you must find an alternative routine, and your odds of success go up dramatically when you commit to changing as part of a group. Belief is essential, and it grows out of a communal experience, even if that community is only as large as two people. Duhigg tells us dozens of studies show that willpower is the single most important keystone habit for individual success. As people strengthen their willpower muscles in one part of their lives, in the gym or a money management program, that strength spilled over into what they ate or how hard they worked. Once willpower became stronger, it touched everything. And finally, once you understand that habits can change, you have the freedom and the responsibility to remake them. Once you understand that habits can be rebuilt, the power of habit becomes easier to grasp, and the only option left is to get to work. I love that quote so much, we had it in there twice. The power of habit, why we do what we do in life and business. Charles Duhigg, awesome stuff. I hope you got something great out of this. What's the number one biggest idea you got? Did you figure out your keystone habit? Are you inspired to figure it out? To really understand what the cues and routines and rewards are that are running your life? Because they're there, dozens and hundreds of them. We want to choose more consciously how to create more positive habits in our lives. So good luck with that. Have fun. Look forward to sharing more with you soon. And have another awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to www.philosophersnotes.com to download more.